The Serial Entrepreneur, brought to you by Startups Magazine. A podcast bringing you leading businesses and founders who have a story to tell and explain some of their biggest challenges.
Try not to be too hard on yourself. Like, I meet so many founders who are like, you know, I should have done this, and then the pandemic happened and I didn't do this. And you spend so much time like second guessing yourself when really mistakes will happen. Like, we're human.
It really does improve over time, and I think sometimes when you're starting out, you kind of almost expect yourself to have, you know, super high standards from the start. You know, you want to do your best at the start, absolutely, but you're never going to be perfect.
Plus, share their biggest secret, their favourite breakfast cereals.
My favourite cereal is an Australian cereal called Nutri-Grain.
Rice Krispies.
It's pretty boring. Weetabix.
I have a clear winner. It is Cocoa Pops.
Hello and welcome to the Serial Entrepreneur podcast. Today I am joined by Kat Anderson, head of EMEA marketing at Sprout Social. Kat is passionate about innovation and creating authentic experiences through digital marketing. And Sprout Social, for those of you who don't know, is a company that offers social media listening and analytics, social management, customer care, commerce and advocacy solutions to more than 30,000 businesses worldwide. Kat, wow, it's such a pleasure to have you on today. How are you, first of all?
I'm great, Anna. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm absolutely delighted to be here.
Oh, I'm so pleased to have you with us. So before I delve into the questions and grill you for the next half an hour, my first and I would say most important question to you is, what is your favourite breakfast cereal and why?
I mean, you've started with the most hard-hitting question, which is I like your style. I think at the minute I eat really boring cereals, so I'm actually going to go to my all-time fave, which is, like, if you remember when you're a child and you'd actually mix cereals together, I don't know if you ever did that, you'd have a bowl of a half and half. So I think my favorite half and half combination would be half Sugar Puffs and then half Shreddies, because Shreddies are like a cereal that feel like a special cereal, but they're actually, I think, kind of healthy for you. But yeah, that would be my all-time favorite cereal bowl.
That is the best answer I have had on this podcast so far. I have done half and halves before. I think everyone has their line if they say they haven't. But I've never done that combination. So I know what I'll be having for my dinner later.
Yes. Yeah, you'll have to let me know how you get on. It's been a while since I've had it. But I mean, Sugar Puffs and Shreddies, they're both absolute bangers.
Yeah, Sugar Puffs is like a forgotten treasure, actually. I haven't had them in years, but yeah, great.
I haven't seen Sugar Puffs in so long.
Well, we've got a really solid start. I'm not really sure any of the questions now will kind of compete with this one, but we'll give it a good go. So I guess let's kind of start from the beginning, and I always like to ask my guests about their personal selves as well as obviously the business side of things. So to start with, tell me a little bit about yourself and your background.
Whew. Wow, I don't even really know where to begin. I like to think of myself as someone who jumps into new experiences and gives everything a good college try, as they say. I guess one kind of interesting story I could share with you, and it sort of gives a little bit of insight, and it's a fun one, is 10 years ago, I had one too many glasses of red wine and I decided to apply to go and come dine with me, and I got through, which was amazing because at that stage I basically never boiled an egg. That was just probably why they put me on. And yeah, I went on Come Dine With Me. I came joint first, which was very exciting, and with that money, so I got 500 quid, I moved to Berlin. No, I didn't move to Berlin. I went on a holiday to Berlin to meet a friend of mine and loved it so much that I moved. So I did actually eventually move. And because I moved to Berlin, I got into the startup scene. I started working in digital marketing a lot more. And honestly, those couple of extra glasses of red wine and going on to Come Dine With Me and that whole train of events actually kind of put me to where I am today.
That's incredible. I love that story. And I'm going to go see if I can find the episode. What a treasure. But yeah, I'm a firm believer in obviously everything happens for a reason. And that obviously led you to kind of where you are today, working in head of digital marketing at Sprout Social, which is incredible. Had marketing, digital marketing, had that always been like a passion or an interest of yours, or did you completely just fall into it whilst working in the startup scene?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think I have always been interested, since I was a little girl, in storytelling and the art of communicating with other people. This has kind of been something I've been passionate about my whole life in different ways. I did, for a very brief moment, move into the world of sales because I also like chatting. But I think marketing definitely suited me better. I feel like marketing gives you so much scope to be creative and also work towards like goals and targets, which really matches my personality quite well. But yeah, it's kind of been a field that has just captured my attention for all of this time now, you know, like 10 plus years. And yeah, it's the best, obviously.
I completely agree. And so how did you then kind of, how did your journey then take you to working at Sprout Social? How long have you worked there and how did it all begin?
Yeah, so so I stayed in Berlin for about 5 years. Then I moved back over to Ireland, which is where I'm originally from. Had a number of different jobs working in different types of marketing. So I worked in an advertising agency. I worked in events marketing. And yeah, so I actually landed in Sprout Social 14 months ago. And it's been, yeah, it's been so exciting. It's been so great. Like, what really attracted me to this role was that obviously Sprout is, you know, it's a big company now. We've got our HQ in Chicago. As you mentioned, we've got 30,000 customers worldwide. It's a really impressive product. But what was exciting about this role here in EMEA was that the EMEA team is still growing. So it almost had like that startup vibe. So I was going to be able to come into a team that had a really cool product, you know, a lot of resources in the HQ in the States, but also have that sense of building something from scratch and all of that like energy and excitement that you get when you're working in a startup. So it's been brilliant so far. I absolutely love it.
It's amazing. And I mean, I have personally used Sprout. When we kind of started Startups Magazine, we were a much smaller team. We didn't have like a dedicated marketing team. So as editorial, we would, you know, use Sprout to kind of like schedule some of the social posts and use it for like Twitter, especially, and Facebook, all the, obviously the social channels and that sort of thing. So I have a very basic knowledge of it and I loved it. It was an absolute lifesaver. When we first like started the social media and taking over that, it was a nightmare. And then Sprout kind of came in, everything a little bit easier. But for those people that may not have heard of you before or have may not used you before, I won't do it justice. So please give us kind of like, what is the company? What is the main goal and vision? And what are you guys doing?
Okay, so Sprout Social is an industry-leading provider of cloud-based social media management, which is exactly kind of what you've just described. So every business at these days obviously has to have lots of different social media channels running. Having a place where you can run them all from one single location is hugely valuable, hugely time-saving. But beyond just that sort of, you know, all in one location, we also offer deep analytics, we offer social listening, we offer customer care, we offer social management, there's commerce and advocacy solutions. So it's actually a tool that is, it's amazing. It's like, I'm trying to think of an example. I love a metaphor, but it's, you know, you kind of think on the surface of it, it's like, okay, yes, you can use it for scheduling and publishing, but there's so much it can do that it's actually, you know, it's really amazing. Because I think social media these days is, I mean, it's been important for a while, but I don't think it's ever been as important as it is currently right at this moment. And so having something like Sprout just really helps companies get a grip on it and get a harness around it as well. Because also like social is massive, like it's huge. And I think the potential that it offers businesses is infinite. But if you don't know how to access that information or how to contact people or the best ways to reach your audiences or customers, it can also feel a little bit daunting. So that's why we can help.
Definitely. This is one of my favorite questions, especially to ask to the experts that work in social media. Why do you think social media and socials right now is so important in today's world?
Anna, I mean, how long do you have? Yeah, I mean, social media is in many ways I'm trying to think. There's like a few ways we can answer this. So I think number one, from a business perspective, if you're trying to reach people, you're trying to reach audiences, get new customers, get your message and your brand out there. In days gone by, we would have been doing billboards or TV adverts or radio inserts, all of which were very costly. And realistically, you're probably only going to get 30 seconds of people's attention. There's also it's really difficult to really measure return on that as well. Social is amazing because it is actually a platform where it is, you know, it's like the great leveler. Enterprise businesses and SMBs all have kind of the same opportunity on social, which I think is wonderful in today's world, that everyone kind of has an opportunity to build a huge followership or go viral or whatever it is that you want to do. I think even zooming out further from that, social media has become almost like, it's like the lifeblood of how we communicate now. It used to be that we would be, you know, using newspapers to get our information and news sites. And I honestly think, as much as I love newspapers and news sites, I know that I turn to social media to see like what's happening. You know, I'll check Twitter to see like what's the absolute breaking news. If it's business news, you know, going on to LinkedIn, it's, you know, how you stay in touch with your friends and family. It's just so baked into society now that, yeah, it's, I actually think it's got to that stage where people, you don't even really realize how baked in it is to your everyday life until you actually stop and think about it. And then it's like, holy moly, it is huge.
Exactly. One of your like beginning points about businesses, when I am looking up a new business, or from a personal perspective now, not from a Startups Magazine hat on, like if I wanted to buy something or if I was looking to look at a new business for whatever personal reason, I go to their socials before their website. Or if I can't then find their socials, I'll go to their website just to scroll down to see where their socials are. And a bit of a red flag to me if they don't have, you know, not every business necessarily has to have a booming page on every platform. But if there's no kind of sign and their socials are not being used, to me, that is a little bit of a red flag. And so following on from this, why is it, you know, one of the key things that Sprout does, why is it so important that businesses are using analytics and tracking for their socials? It's not just about posting anymore, is it? It's like you said, it's easier to track like the returns and see how that's working. Why is that important?
Yeah, so I think, you know, any business, if you are doing any efforts in anything, you want to know if it's actually yielding results. And with marketing, again, in the past, when, and not even just in the past, it's still going on, of course, like TV, radio, newspapers, stuff that's non-digital, it's still really important. But like actually tracking how effective that's been, it's a little bit fluffy. And, you know, you will definitely get some figures, but they're not super duper accurate. And that's where I think social is really, it stands head and shoulders above all of these other methods of advertising with people. I also think that measuring your return on investment, but yeah, like I think also realistically, we have to, it is a level playing field, but I do think there are algorithms and stuff that are at play on these platforms. You know, there's so many people on these different platforms that, you know, all of the different channels do have algorithms at play. So whilst you have as much opportunity to post as the next business, there are things that you can do and understand to help make your message be a little bit more amplified or a little bit more visible to maybe audiences beyond your own network. And so when you look at the data behind, I don't know, take a week's worth of posts and you analyze, okay, so, you know, what type of topics got the most engagement? What time of day did we get the most sort of responses? You know, what channels do what types of, you know, different types of content maybe work better on different platforms? These are all things that once you have the data, you're so much better armed to know how you can, you know, frankly, use the algorithms to your advantage, get your brand's business and message out there a lot more. And so I just think, you know, there's not very many things in this world that you would do without trying to get as much information as possible. Information is power. And the more information you can get, I think, will better enable you to be more successful.
Definitely. And I guess looking at the data, let's take Facebook for an example. I know from doing Facebook advertising, like through the Facebook Ad Manager, you can sometimes pinpoint people specifically. So I want to target people that have liked hair pages, beauty pages, et cetera, which is fantastic. My concern, or maybe like query now, is then I know for a fact that when I created my Facebook profile 10 years ago, I was liking all these pages. A, I might not be interested in these anymore, but I haven't unliked them. And B, I don't actually use Facebook that much. And I think it's like a generational thing now as well, isn't it? So sometimes do we have to take all this data and these analytics with a pinch of salt? I mean, like when you talk to customers and businesses, do you say, you know, it's not gospel? Like sometimes you have to not take things with a pinch of salt, but like you can't necessarily trust everything like black and white. It's not sometimes as clear as it seems. Is that fair to say?
I mean, I think obviously there are going to be, I think it's really interesting what you say about Facebook. So, you know, I think we have seen shifts of behavior on all of the social media channels in the past few years, which is interesting. And I think there is definitely trends where we see different generations will be using different platforms. So generally speaking, I think with the data you can get, though, you can choose sort of the time frame that you're collecting this data as well. So it can be like what has been happening recently on this platform, you know, and you can analyze sort of who is it that you want to reach. Do you know what I mean? Do we want to reach, I mean, what company would not want to reach you, Anna? But if they're like, do we want to reach Anna on her Instagram account, which she used yesterday, or do we want to reach her on her Facebook account, which looks like it's been lying dormant for 10 years? I think, yeah, it's funny. Like, I do consider myself a creative, so it feels kind of unnatural for me to speak in defense of data. But as a marketer, I live and die by data because I feel like whilst you may be right, like it's maybe not absolutely carved in stone that everything you read there is, you know, going to give you a 100% guarantee, but it's the closest that we're going to get. Do you know what I mean? And I think for the most part, it is very accurate. But yeah, I mean, there's always going to be stuff where you might not be able to get exactly like to one type of person, you know, because there's people maybe who don't share as much information online. But for broadly speaking, and for broader campaigns, I think that it's like, honestly, I do think it's second to none. You know, it is the correct way to be doing your marketing.
And then how do you guys, as perhaps social, as marketers, how do you guys then kind of advise businesses and people to make better decisions based on what their customers actually want? And how can social help them then give the people what they really want?
So, oh my goodness, so many different ways. So I'm going to now talk about, honestly, the part of Sprout that I still have not got over. And I know this exists beyond Sprout, but I just think it's super cool. And it's social listening. Ah, social listening is amazing. So this is something where, for people who don't know, this is where instead of maybe just tracking how your hashtags or your campaigns or your own content is performing, social listening can go that one step beyond, where you can go like, okay, there are millions of public tweets, Facebook posts, Instagram posts, whatever, out there. And people have opinions about absolutely everything. They're sharing their thoughts about any topic under the sun. And that is useful information. But how on earth can, you know, Joe Blogs here sitting in my small startup, how can I actually access that information? How can I harness this infinite sea of opinions and thoughts that are coming from the general public, potential customers? It feels like, you know, such an enormous task that it would be impossible to do. That's social listening can do this. Like, honestly, Anna, I know I sound like such a dweeb, but I honestly think it's like the coolest thing. So what you can do with social listening is you can pick a topic. So say, I don't know, you are selling, pick something, Anna. What are we selling?
Shoes.
Shoes. We're selling shoes. And we want to know, I mean, I'm not sure, maybe people are talking about this, but we could talk, we could have a look at, like, in a certain region, are people talking about going hiking a lot more? You know, is it a region where there's a lot of hiking? Is it, are we in a city where people are going to be going out all the time? Has lockdown just happened, so people are not going to be buying fancy shoes? There's so many different conversations that you can go, let's have a look and see what the public sentiment is around this, what the conversation is around this. Let's see what people are saying about our competitors. Are people... And actually, they don't want to buy from us. They want to buy from Shoe, or they want to buy from Clarks, or they want to buy from whomever. This information, I just think, is amazing. I just think it's so cool that you can really go beyond just your own stuff, which is just, that does not exist in any other form of marketing. You can go and actually see what the public are saying. You can assess, like, what the need is. You can assess what the desire is, what people's sentiments about certain topics are. And then that information then is invaluable for how either you can, like, develop your product, even, you know, right at the beginning, even understanding, is this a business that is going to sort of yield results? You know, you can use all of this information in a really tangible way. I just think it's like, yeah, sorry, I really am such a nerd about this, but I just think it is so interesting and it's so cool. When I first saw it, I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, no, definitely. Because, like, to me, a social media and then analytics is like putting a post out and seeing how many people have clicked it. Or, like you say, you know, even taking that a little bit further, what sort of person's clicked it and at what times. The fact that, yeah, obviously then you can kind of like hone in. And it comes back to when people are saying, you know, oh, your phone listens to you, or, you know, your whatever is listening to what you say. I don't necessarily believe that that is true. But obviously, if you are Googling hiking, like you say, or if you're tweeting about, or if you're sharing stuff on certain topics, then obviously the tools can pick up on this thing. And in a way, it is listening to you, but it's not physically listening to your personal information.
Yeah. So I will say, I am a person who, I don't like stuff listening to me at all. So that's, like, absolute, like, huge caveat here. I don't like that in the slightest. Social listening is a little bit different because it is taking on board publicly available information. So it's not following, you know, the, like, your cookies or anything like that, or, like, it's not more about your searches. It's more about, like, the conversations that are happening on social media that are publicly available. So if you are tweeting in like, not even tweeting in private, because that's not a thing, but, like, if you've got a very private Instagram account, for example, that's not going to come up. Like, Facebook, that's not going to come up. But with Twitter, for example, Twitter's probably the best platform for social listening. And so, yeah, that's where you can see, wow, okay, this is what people are having these conversations about. It doesn't really infringe, because, yeah, that would make me uncomfortable as well. Probably that name, social listening, sounds like it could be a little bit Big Brotherish, but it's basically just harnessing publicly available information anyway.
Definitely. So in your experience, what works well and what doesn't work well when looking to, like, utilize social media, especially for, like, smaller businesses and startups?
So let me see. I do think, and these are all just hot takes from the brain of Kat Anderson here, but I do think that trying to find what your unique selling point is and your authentic voice generally tends to yield good results. Because people, I do think that humans have an innate capacity to, like, sense authenticity. And I know that word is bandied about an awful lot, but I think in the same way that if you were having a conversation with someone and they were, you know, pretending to be someone that they're not, it is noticeable, it's tangible. And I do think to an extent that will happen on social media as well. So I think being confident and knowing, like, what is special about your business, what is special about you and your way of communicating. And then, you know, exactly the same as in society, when you're true to yourself, you will find your people. And I think that is the case on social. So that would be, like, my first big thing, is, like, try and be true to yourself, be authentic, and, like, promote what is special about you. Another thing is, I think there are lots and lots and lots of slightly unhelpful beliefs about social, that you have to go viral all the time I mean, it's obviously great if you go viral, but that should not be your primary goal on social, because it's actually probably not what you want. It might be, and that's totally fine. So other things as well, like, you know, you need to have, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers. And, you know, that's where you find a lot of people will maybe go and buy followers. But then what you see is you have these ghost accounts where you've got hundreds of thousands of followers and the posts are getting like 20 likes, you know, and you're like, that doesn't add up. So I think probably another sort of good tip is to really assess what you want to get out of social. Is it that you want to build up followership? Is it that you want to start social selling and having like a social commerce offering? Is it that you, yeah, I mean, there's so many different things that there could be, but understanding exactly what your goals are. Let me see what else. I also, this is so cheesy and I feel like a granny saying this, but it's true. I also think that you should just try and have fun with it as well, because social is fast. Social is, you know, it's very current, like post-current. It's like always like one step ahead of everything else that's going on. So, you know, don't take things too seriously. You're going to have moments where posts aren't going to do that well. A campaign might flop a little bit, but see it as an experimentation, you know, like there's so much opportunity to be learning from things that don't do well. And I think that like having a sense of, okay, well, we can have a bit of fun with this. You know, it is important, but trying to have a bit of fun with it means that when you have like the ups and downs, which every single business has, even if the most viral looking business in the world, I guarantee you, has had ups and downs, I think then it'll keep you enjoying it. And you should ultimately enjoy it.
Definitely. And should you be on every platform, or is it kind of more beneficial to be really, really good at one or two and like neglect the others? Or is it better to have a small presence on all of them? Yeah, how does that work in that sense?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And honestly, I don't think that there is a one size fits all answer, to be honest with you. Sorry, what a terrible answer. I think that, again, it's about understanding what works for your business, you know. So if you have huge growth targets for like how you want to expand, you know, and they're super ambitious, maybe having more social media platforms does make sense. If you are, I don't know, running a small Etsy business, it could just be that Instagram is a really good platform for you because you can show off like what you've been making. If you are offering, you know, you're a small SaaS business or something like that, LinkedIn might sort of naturally seem like more of a fit. I think the helpful thing is that a lot of the social media platforms have got their own distinct vibes, their own distinct personalities, and their benefits and strengths are quite obvious. So I think I would say assess what you want and what's going to make sense for your business. I'm inclined to think that trying from the off to be on everything all at once is going to be pretty exhausting and probably means that you won't be able to like focus on getting the gains or getting the results that you want. It's not an overnight, like social media, you're not going to be a social media superstar overnight. That is my big hot take here. But once you understand that and take it step by step, you can, you know, it's one step at a time. You're always going to be getting closer to it.
Yeah. And everything's a learning curve, isn't it? You said this earlier, kind of like, you know, if your campaign does flop or if it doesn't, like you say, work overnight, you can take things in and learn from everything. I think that's key, especially with a startup or a small business. With your inside knowledge and all your expertise in social media, what are some of like the key trends that we're seeing with social media marketing at the moment?
So key trends at the moment, I think we are seeing a lot of brands leveraging user-generated content at the minute, which is a great way to engage your audience, make them feel part of a community, and also, to be honest, get content as well that you can then show off. I think like user-generated content is something that kind of benefits everyone. It makes your customers feel like they're part of your brand, they're part of your community. It also means that when, as I say, you can get content for free. That's not the only reason to do it, but like as a marketer, it kind of is helpful. But not only are you getting content for free, essentially, but you're also showing that like, look, these are what other customers are, you know, let's say it's a jewelry brand, for example, like, and your customers are sending in pictures of them wearing their jewelry. It's so great to be able to show that off and be like, look, this is other happy customers taking pictures of it. It's like, it gives a lovely sense of peer proof, which you can't just get from, you know, your own photo shoots. So that's something that I think is a real, like, that's a real golden nugget. I think user-generated content's fab. I do think we are obviously still in the full flush of TikTok and Reels and this sort of short video content, which I do know is something that a lot of brands are like, how do we interact with this? How do we get on board with this? I think it's something that needs to be assessed, like, again, if it's right for your brand or not. But that's something that if you can find a way or a niche or, like, you know, a way that you feel comfortable creating that content, that's also gold dust.
Yeah, definitely. And on the user generated content, like, say, customer pictures, I know a lot of people, especially when, like, shopping for, like, clothes or something that is like a visual thing, much would rather read the reviews and see them on actual people than the models. Because how many times when you're online shopping for clothes or jewelry or anything that you're going to wear, do you see it on the models, order it, you try it on, you're like, how is that the same piece? How? It physically isn't. So yeah, seeing it on real people is a massive, massive thing, especially in today's online world, I guess. So yeah, really, really agreed with that one. I guess then I'm going to wrap my last two questions into one and kind of get you to get your mystic ball out and talk about the future now. What do you think that we may see more of in the future in terms of general kind of social media trends and, you know, industry? And then also, what can we expect to see some more of in the future from a Sprout Social point of view too?
Whew, okay. Crystal ball activated. I think from an industry perspective, I think social is all about connecting with people. And that's going to be something that I honestly think brands have only really started to scratch the surface of it with. I think that especially with the past 2 or 3 years, with everything that's been going on, people are on social a lot more than they ever have been. And yeah, I think brands are kind of playing catch up a little bit with consumers now, and they're now trying to figure out, like, how can we sort of connect with people in a way that feels real, that they feel like they're connected with us, like we have a real opportunity to really, really bond with our customers. So I think that's something that we'll continue to see from brands, that they'll continue to try and innovate and find new ways to connect with people. I think as well, technology is also racing ahead. So after years of where social, I think, was maybe kind of considered as just a channel for broadcasting, you know, you'd throw out a tweet once or twice a day and not really think much more of it. Now, as I say, people are on it more than ever. It's more important than ever. And all of these other technologies are trundling over the hills. So like virtual reality, augmented reality, the metaverse, all of these things that honestly slightly make me go, I don't even know how they're going. I don't even know what that's going to look like. But they will definitely have a role to play, because it's just, we can see it happening. You know, they're trundling down the hill. In terms of Sprout, heaps of stuff is coming, which is really exciting. And I like, so much cool stuff is happening this year, which I'm really excited about. We have some really cool integrations coming, which means that our already gorgeously fabulous tool is going to be even more gorgeous and fabulous. Stuff that, again, I'm often genuinely fairly agog. I just think, oh, this is really, really amazing. So yeah, for some of them, I can't unfortunately tell you what it is, which kind of sucks. But stay tuned and follow us on social at Sprout Social, and we will keep you abreast of all the updates. But yeah, it generally then within EMEA, so within like Europe, Middle East and Africa, yeah, we're going to be doing way more events. We're going to be doing way more like webinars. We're going to be doing lots more stuff. We've got a brand new podcast as well. Obviously, you know, this is also a beautiful podcast that everyone should subscribe to. But if you want to subscribe to our new podcast, it's called Social Creatures. And if you like social media and this kind of content, I'd recommend checking it out.
Amazing. So I guess watch this space. And yeah, lots of exciting things to come. I love the name of the podcast. I also love the name of Sprout Social. Like, it always makes me think of Brussels sprouts, but I love it so much.
Anna, do you like a Sprite though? I actually love Sprite. People are very mean to Sprites.
No, I love a Sprite. We only get them at Christmas, but I love them. I think that's what makes me love them even more.
Yay! All types of Sprites are welcome.
Kat, thank you so much for being our amazing guest today. It's been such a pleasure talking to you and learning from you. So thank you so much.
I am so happy to have been here. Thank you so much for having me on. Thanks, Anna. This has been great fun.
The Serial Entrepreneur, brought to you by Startups Magazine. A podcast bringing you leading businesses and founders who have a story to tell and explain some of their biggest challenges.
Try not to be too hard on yourself. Like, I've met so many founders who are like, you know, I should have done this, and then the pandemic happened and I didn't do this. And you spend so much time like second guessing yourself when really mistakes will happen. Like, we're human.
It really does improve over time, and I think sometimes when you're starting out, you kind of almost expect yourself to have, you know, super high standards from the start. You know, you want to do your best at the start, absolutely, but you're never going to be perfect.
Plus, share their biggest secret, their favourite breakfast cereals.
My favourite cereal is an Australian cereal called Nutri-Grain.
Rice Krispies.
It's pretty boring. Weetabix.
I have a clear winner. It is Cocoa Pops.